B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
The GM of the Philadelphia Phillies, who's on the line with us right now, Matt Klentak. Matt, welcome in, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you on. It's been a while since we caught up with you. First and foremost, Joe Girardi taking over as your skipper is a big thing. But the unfortunate part of it is Gabe Kapler, you had to move on from him after just 2 years. What's something you think was missing in that dugout with your manager when it came to really how he handled this roster?
I think what it boils down to more than anything else is we couldn't complete the job the last couple of years. And I hate to say it's that simple because nothing's ever that simple. But, you know, we were in first place for a good portion of 2018 and then a good portion of 2019. And as you guys well know, we had a pretty splashy offseason last year, which raised expectations. And then when we weren't able to, to cross the finish line in September, I think that was ultimately, what led to the decision. So, I'll maintain, for a long, long time. I think Cap brought a ton of good to this franchise. I think he and the staff helped us to, make up a ton of ground relative to the rest of the league. And it was ground we desperately needed to make up given where we were. But now it's time to turn the page and, put a focus on 2020. And obviously you mentioned Joe Girardi's name. His track record speaks for itself, but, the first couple of weeks working with him so far just here in the offseason have been nothing short of remarkable. So we're very excited to have him and to see him guide our team next year.
When he was introduced, just about 2 weeks ago, not even now, you said the experience was the number one thing you were looking at. With that experience with Joe Girardi as a player and a successful manager in the big leagues, he knows how to translate numbers. He knows how to translate analytics and make sure that the player is getting the information he needs. What makes him such a good manager and knowing really how to filter that information to his player?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's not it's something that's hard to do. And one of the things we were looking for, you're right. We were absolutely placing a premium on prior major league managerial experience. And that's why we interviewed the candidates that we did. We also wanted to make sure we didn't skew too far. You don't want a radical change from where we were at before, from one extreme to the other. And I think Joe, you mentioned it, he's very smart, very thorough, very analytical himself. And yet, has the experience that he's had both as a player and a manager in New York, in a big market, winning a World Series championship, going to the playoffs six other times, and just the relationships that he's built, both with players, with coaches, that we were able to kind of tap into in our vetting process, all told the same story, is that this is a guy who really cares. He's really smart, but he has a good way of blending, kind of the human component with the objective component. And, ultimately that's a really important, match to make. And he doesn't just say how he's going to do it. We can actually look back and see how he's done it and the success that he's had. And that gives us a lot of confidence that he'll be able to have similar, successes here in Philadelphia.
Speaking with Phillies GM Matt Klentak, I know you don't want to backtrack too much here, and it is about moving forward, but the number one question we get here from Phillies fans is why didn't they invest more in pitching going into last year, even if it was during the trade deadline, especially when it wasn't even a trade that was needed to get a guy like Dallas Keuchel? Why was that something that was overlooked?
Yeah, I mean, you have to make choices. I mean, I would love to say we could just go acquire everything we want at any time of the year. But the reality is you have to make choices. And, just looking back at last offseason, had we signed a free agent pitcher to a free agent pitcher contract, for real money, that was going to mean that there was something else that we weren't able to do. And, I don't know what that thing is. Is that acquiring Gene Segura? Is that signing, David Robertson? Is that, which again, that one didn't work out based on an injury, but, is that the trade for El Muto or, swallow hard? Is that potentially would we have not been able to sign Bryce Harper? And, so we're always trying to balance out, our decision making. What can we do? What's the opportunity cost of something else? And, in our judgment, we did what we did. Like, we did pursue some pitchers. We felt like, the prices on those weren't you know, weren't what we wanted to pay, and they were going to cost us or keep us from doing other things. We prioritized some of the other things, and then our pitching didn't deliver. So, you know, everybody sees it pretty clearly. So do I. But, you know, if I look back at sort of the reasons why, I really can't question those. I mean, you can question the results, like that part of it, but that was sort of the judgment we made. And, I don't think we're going to make that same mistake again. I think we're going to be, you know, we're going to be in the market for pitching this year, both free agent and trade, and see if we can bolster that group for 2020.
Well, I don't want to read into it too much, but I know it was $13 million for Dallas Keuchel. That was the reported number out there for Keuchel. But then you're looking at this offseason, and I know, as you just mentioned, you alluded to Bryce Harper and $330 million. Everyone knows the number there. Can Phillies fans expect the Phillies to be in this offseason for another big market free agent, most notably an arm?
This is one I have to be real careful about, given the, I don't know if you saw the, Braves GM said something.
Yeah. Like, that's where I kept it general.
Yeah. Look, I think we, you know, there are going to be opportunities for us this winter to make our team better. And that's what we're going to be focused on. I don't think it's ever right to go into an offseason expecting to make a record-setting signing. You know, that's probably not great expectation management, but we have holes to fill. We know it. We have a very supportive and aggressive ownership group, and we're already starting to connect with other teams and try to look for trade matches. So, you know, I expect we will be active and we'll do everything we can to make our club better. You know, I'll probably just leave it at that so I don't get in trouble.
I understand what you're saying, but I know Phillies fans will look at that 330, that number attached to Bryce Harper, and they just want to know whether or not the Phillies feel as if, luxury tax-wise, whatever you want to call it, as if the Phillies feel that they're up against it, or do you feel like you still have some wiggle room with John Middleton and the Buck Cousins?
Well, we still have room between where we are right now and the CBT threshold, so... So even whether we go over or not, we have some room to maneuver. So I'm not particularly worried about that.
Matt, how different of a feel is this offseason than last? I think we all anticipated last year with the either Machado or Harper and a big splash offseason. Is this one kind of different in that it's maybe not the big splash, but filling in pieces, filling holes, as you said, and you might have some guys coming up that could help you out?
It could be. And I look at these, I never know exactly how an off season is going to turn out. You know, I know what is, you know, we have needs and we have things that we're looking to do, but inevitably opportunities will present themselves that we didn't foresee. And, you know, we'll have to react to those. But I think there's probably some truth in what you said. We definitely have holes. I'm not pretending we don't. We need to supplement our group. And, you know, we won 81 games last year and that wasn't enough. And, you know, there were a lot of reasons for that. You mentioned, you know, some of the struggles of our rotation, but a big one was injuries too. So, you know, hopefully we'll have a healthier season next year than we've had, and that'll help to capture, you know, a couple more wins. And I think the big thing is the core of our team is really solid. You know, when you start a team with, you know, just, I don't mean to omit anybody, but Harper, Realmuto, Hoskins, Nola, you know, with a core of guys like that and just the ages of those players very much in their primes or still entering their primes, you know, that's a really good place to start. Now we need to make sure that we support that core with, as you said, you know, I don't mean complimentary players in meaning bench players, but, you know, rounding out a strong rotation and a deep bullpen and making sure we don't have a lot of holes, because you know that over the course of 162 games, your depth is going to be tested. Whether you're having a healthy year or a particularly injury prone year, you know you're going to have to call up the next guy. And we want to make sure that we're building that depth as best we can. You know, you mentioned that there are some top prospects coming, and they're probably on the 2020 horizon at some point if everything clicks and they continue to progress and stay healthy. And that's great. And that's how you build a sustainable organization, is by, you know, making sure that all your additions to your major league club aren't coming from the outside. You know, some have to come internally to create a youth movement, to frankly manage and better balance the payroll out. So, you know, we're gonna need the contributions of both internal guys and players that we may acquire from the outside this offseason.
JT Realmuto, Matt, was just an incredible acquisition. Obviously, last year you parted ways with a prospect to bring him in. But since then, All-Star, Gold Glove, now Silver Slugger. When you see those awards, are you like, oh, good for him? But are you also thinking, damn, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching? He really has just exceeded expectations this year, this past season.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we got him, we thought he was the best catcher in baseball, and we don't think any differently now. We watched it for a full season, got to see him hit, got to see him throw, got to see him, you know, block, and got to see him run, and he can do everything. And on top of that, he's, you know, a really good leader in our clubhouse, a really good guy. It's the total package. You know, in response to the cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching part, you know what? That's a good thing. You know, I mean, honestly, like if you never want to be in a position where you're rooting against players to save money. So if our players are that good that they're, you know, making themselves more expensive in arbitration or to extend, you know what? That's a good thing. You know, we'll tackle that this winter, obviously, but I view that as a good thing.
Reese Hoskins, the name you mentioned, is one of the stars. Obviously, a very disappointing second half slump last year, about 190 in the second half of the year. What was the problem with Reese? How do you get him out of a funk like that going forward?
Yeah, that's going to be, you know, we have named a few new members of our coaching staff. We're going to name Juan Castro, our new infield coach today, to replace Bobby Dickerson, who left for the Padres last week. But we still have the hitting coach position open, and that we're working on that. I hope that won't be too much longer before we name someone to that role. But that's going to be a big job, and that's going to be one of the things we're going to talk to the new hitting coach about. Reese is so talented. He has so much power, and he has such a discerning eye. You know, even despite the two month struggles towards the end of the year, he still led the National League in walks. And you know, he's never going to be a guy, in my estimation, that's going to hit 300. That's just not the type of player he is. He's going to be more of a power guy with walks and a high on base percentage. And I like that. We all like that. But one thing that we've seen from Reese, both in a good way and in a bad way, is he is prone to streaks. And we saw it when he first came up in August of 18. I don't know if I've ever seen a player as hot as he was. He was homering every day for whatever that was, three straight weeks. It was unbelievable. And then we've also seen him at various times, you know, most notably late this past summer, you know, go into some really cold streaks. And, you know, one of the things about, the development at this level is, you know, guys learning how to, you know, cut short their cold streaks. And it's hard to do, but that's really what separates a good player from a great player. If you can limit your cold stretches to, you know, a few games or, you know, even a week, but not let them linger into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you know, that's how you produce, you know, kind of superstar level numbers. And look, if I'm betting on him, I will bet on the work ethic and the character and, you know, the leadership and everything of Reese Hoskins every day of the week. You'll obviously have to strike a new relationship with our new hitting coach, whoever that is. But, you know, we like Reese's chances to bounce back and have a really good 2020.
Matt, I'll take injury out of this question because that's not something you can control, obviously. But what was something that was disappointing that you were disappointed in last year that you really want to focus on going into this season?
That's a good question. I mean, the obvious answer, and you took it out, but it was
yeah. Injury. The only reason I say that because you can't control that. That's not your doing, obviously.
That's exactly right. I'd like as best we can to try to continue to build the depth so that when the inevitable happens, whatever the inevitable is, injuries or poor performance or, you know, whatever, that we, you know, really don't feel like we are taking a major step back. And, you know, I look at, you know, for example, left field was a good example and in a positive way where I think we did a reasonably good job of that. We lost McCutcheon and, you know, right around the beginning of June. And that's like, you know, you can't really replace him, but you know, Jay Bruce came in and did a really good job for a while. And then he got hurt and we were able to add Corey Dickerson. And you know, you never felt like our left field production bottomed out. You know, it may not have been quite what Kutch gave us, but but it, you know, we never had like a huge lull there. You know, in contrast, when, you know, when our rotation started to scuffle or when our bullpen was really set back with injuries, you know, I felt like we took a step back and in some of those areas, and it was hard to overcome that. So I, you know, as best we can, I'd like to continue to preserve that depth. You know, one of the ways to do that is to hang on to our better prospects. And, you know, there are times like a Real Muto trade that you mentioned earlier where, you know, you're gonna part with those guys because it just makes sense. You know, the value's there, and let's go. But there are times when, you know, we need to make sure we realize that our next wave, like Adam Haseley did last year after Odubel got suspended, can step in and cut his teeth at the big league level. And it's good to have an impact young kid, you know, ready to come up and contribute. And if you look back at the, you know, the history of most, you know, good teams, they're out, the World Series winning teams, they almost always have some combination of, you know, veterans leading the way, but also young kids helping to give you that last push. And, you know, I expect, you know, that we'll be no different than that. So, you know, let's continue to build depth in the organization, continue to bring up good young players that can, you know, drive our club and, you know, complement our superstars and, hope for better health. I think that's a pretty good recipe to win.
Two final things for you, Matt, and we appreciate you coming on with Phillies GM Matt Klentak. You did mention Odubel Herrera. What is the standing right now with the team and Odubel?
Yeah, it's up in the air. I mean, he's back off of his suspension. When the season ended, or I guess when the World Series ended, he came off the restricted list. So he's back on the 40-man roster. You know, he'll have to earn whatever he gets at this point. And that's largely because in his absence this summer, you know, I mentioned Haseley, you know, Adam Haseley came up and demonstrated that he can play a top-notch major league center field. And we've always liked the offensive profile. So, you know, the situation that, you know, Odubel left when he was suspended is different than the one that today. And that's to say nothing of, you know, what Roman Quinn means to us when he's on the field. And I know we've had a hard time keeping him on the field, but when he is on the field, he can be a dynamic player. So, you know, I don't know is probably the short answer. But, you know, the landscape is certainly different today than it was last spring.
All right. Alec Bohm, Spencer Howard, Mickey Moniak. Any chance we see any of those names next year?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. You know, obviously they're going to have to perform. They're going to have to stay healthy, but that's, you know, that I kind of alluded to a group earlier. I mean, that's largely the group I'm talking about, not exclusive to them, but I think all the guys you mentioned have a chance to be good big leaguers, and probably not too far off.
All right.
You know, here's hoping.
And then the last thing for you, and this is a big concern, Matt. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but it's horrifying. We saw it. It brought somebody to tears, actually. I know you already talked about Rhys Hoskins, but did you see the bachelor party picture?
Oh, no.
Well, I guess he's a big Nintendo fan because he was half the guys, including Scott Kinger, are dressed up like Mario. The other half of the guys are dressed up like Luigi, and Rhys Hoskins was dressed up like Princess. What was it?
Either Peach or Toadstool.
Toadstool. Very concerning.
Amazing. I'm going to go Google that.
Matt, we really appreciate you coming on and answering all the questions for us. You know, good luck. Winter meeting's about a month away, so good luck to you and the rest of the Phillies organization.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.